Things We Know. And we are still in that series, and we're going to be in Romans chapter 8, one of the best known verses and known subjects. We'll wander, maybe circle around a little bit, this verse and Romans 8, and just learn a few things about it, maybe a few thoughts. Things we know. We know that all things work together for good. Amen. To them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. And all things work together for good. Romans 8. Let's start at verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Okay, let's pray and let's talk about this passage. Father, thank you for the chance to teach this good passage. Thank you for the scripture. Thank you for the knowledge that we know. And Lord, this is an anchor verse for our souls in this life. And I pray we'd understand it and have it clearly illuminated, Father, from your word, Lord. Please help us. Please speak to us and give all of us this wisdom. Help us all to want to enter into this safe realm of all things working together for good. And help us to grasp it and maybe see it a little more clearly tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a good verse. Romans 8:28 is the focus of tonight. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And I would say in the Bible, there's famous passages. I would say this is certainly top 10 verses that are known. John 3:16 would be number one. Jesus wept would probably be number two. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, for whatever reason they use it, is probably number three. Isaiah 40:31, man with wings as eagles, is somewhere in there. And maybe, but I think Romans 8:28 is in that realm there. One of the best known verses. And I hear it quoted a lot, partially quoted, misquoted, quoted for wrong purposes. And so I think the verse, though many people could say all things work together for good, that's usually where the quoting stops. And I know all things work together for good. And well, that's all God wanted. That's all he would have said. he says more than that in this verse. And he says more of that in the context around it. So I want to just go into it a little bit and elaborate just a little bit on it. There's a reason, and it's not one of my points, but if sometimes I'll add a point, and I already have a number one, so this is point number zero. This is because of the sovereignty of God. That's what he starts with before this, and that's what he ends with after it. It's because God is sovereign. God is in control. God is ultimately an authority who knows what's happening and what to do ahead of time. Because God can work things, and he knows what's going on. He says, verse 26, likewise the Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit, also helpeth our infirmities. We're too weak. We don't know what to pray for as we ought. But the Holy Spirit makes intercession. So one of the things that, the reasons it works together for good is God knows what we really need, and he knows how weak we are, and so he helps us in our weaknesses and our failures. He helps us by knowing and making up for our gaps, for making up for our weaknesses, for making up for our failures. It's like when a kid is carrying something too heavy for them and you're doing most of the carrying, but they think they're carrying it. And that's what the Lord's doing. And he's helping us in our prayers, even though we don't know what to pray for. He makes intercession and says, here's what they need. And he does those things. And he that searches the hearts know what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession. So God knows our hearts, he knows our needs, and then he makes intercession for us according to the will of God. So he's helping us along so that everything that comes along in our life, we're not foolishly asking for the wrong things that are going to ruin our life. He knows what our hearts need. He knows what we're thinking. He's making intercession. He's going there on our behalf. God is for us. And so remember that sovereignty of God makes it so that all things can work together for good. And that's what it says before that, the famous verse 28. This knowledge of all things working together for good, is this knowledge is for qualified people, is point number one. This, we know that all things work together for good. This is a knowledge that's reserved for qualified people. Okay? It is not for everybody. Everything doesn't work together for good for everybody. Everything does not work together for good for every Christian. He gives two very specific qualifications, okay? The first qualification is to them that love God. All things work together for good to them who love God. Okay, that's the first qualification. And so, do you love God? Now, boy, there's a million people who say, you know, God, you meet the drunk in the corner, you start witnessing to him, he's like, oh, I love Jesus with all my heart. I mean, you know, everybody says they love God, okay? And you have some people who are doing a lot of wicked things. God qualifies who loves him. Okay, he does it in John 14 real well. Let me just read you some verses. I'll just read you one verse out of John 14. Loving God is not you feel this positive thing toward him and you like God and you wish you could do right things. That's not loving God. Loving God is much more intense than that. The Bible says we know if we love God. It's not whether we feel like we do or we say we do or we wish we did. He says if you love him or not. John 14, 23 says, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come into him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. So, do you love God? Okay, do you keep his commandments? Well, I love God, but I don't keep his commandments. Not possible. He just says you can't. And he that doesn't keep my commandments is because they don't love me enough. He says it both ways. Who is he that loveth me? That he that keepeth my commandments. He that keepeth not my commandments doesn't love me. Okay? So, the first thing there, the qualification, is someone who loves God enough to live for God, to obey God, to do what God wants him to do. In other words, an obedient Christian. Somebody who loves God with all their great first commandment, love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. That is a Christian. Doesn't say perfect Christian. Someone who loves God, someone who's given their heart to God, who loves God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, someone who loves God. Second qualification is the called in verse 30. And he says it very carefully, as God does. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called, according to his purpose. The called is a group of people, okay? It's fairly common in the Bible. I'm going to read you some verses to show you what it is. I could preach a whole sermon on it. The called is saved people. Okay. Now I want to say, especially in Romans 8, 9, 10, 11, Romans 9 and 11 are the best, strongest chapters in the entire Bible on the sovereignty of God. He uses the term called. And I want to say this. You cannot get saved if God does not call you. Okay? And you cannot get saved. It cannot be just your will is to be saved. Okay? There is sovereignty of God. Now, I also do not believe you don't have a choice. The best way I ever explained it is explained so great. It was Dale Moody said this. He says, when you walk in the door of heaven, the entrance above the door, it says, whosoever will. When you walk through that door and look back once you're in heaven, it says, the called. And the key to understanding the called, and it's so silly when people debate Calvinism, is do we have free will or is God sovereign? Yes. Both are all over the Bible. They're both everywhere in the Bible. And sometimes God is more sovereign in certain situations. Sometimes God gives more free will in certain situations. And that's the way God runs things. But both those things are true. You would not be saved if God did not call you. You probably said you will, but not everybody. Some people God just chooses. That's in the Bible and Paul, for example, and others. But God says, whosoever will. But the called, and let me just give you a few verses about the called. Let's look at verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Okay? There's a calling. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Okay? Predestinates, a word used, I think, twice in the Bible, Ephesians 1 and Romans 8. It's a fine Bible word. But I think if you, before you just pull the word predestinate out, you have to look at verse 29. Verse 29 pulls in the context of foreknowledge and sovereignty. And whom he did foreknow. Now, before you get, you got to know the word foreknow before you know predestinate. Okay? Because God puts it first. Foreknow is really simple. Simply this is God looks ahead and sees who's going to get saved. He knows who's going to get saved. He knows who's going to say yes. He's going to know the very limited few that he just says, you're going to get saved. And then he does that. He knows that. He knows what's going to happen. He looks it forward. He says, you are going to get saved. So I'm going to complete the entire process of salvation. Okay? And you're going to be one of the called. Because I knew you were going to get saved. And we don't necessarily, we do not know to what extent, and I want to get lost in the weeds here. We do not know exactly to what extent God called you versus you thirsted after God and said yes. Both in most of our lives, both those things are true. Some people, you have this incredible testimony where you try to kill yourself 10 times and the gun didn't shoot and 20 other things happen where you're just this person who God is just. And there's another person who just had this hunger and thirst after God their whole life. Now, God, no man can come to the Father except unto me except the Father draw him, John 12 says. But all of us have that. But to get back to this verse here, God foreknows, he finishes the whole process of our salvation, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's not get to heaven, that's be like Jesus. He might be the firstborn among many brethren. It'll be a lot like him. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. So we finished the whole process. What should we say then to these things? It's all done. So if God be for us, who can be against us? So the called are the saved. A couple of verses on that, just showing you the called is just another term for the saved in the Bible. Let's look at Romans 1. Romans 1. And verse 6, among whom ye are also the called among Jesus Christ. And if you go to Romans, you'll find out they said, yes, whosoever will, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you also find the sovereignty of God. It's very clear in Romans especially. And but the saved are called the called. That's the saved people. And then go to 2 Thessalonians, just a one more verse. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. It says, we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved in the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you unto salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the truth, whereunto he hath called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, the called. You've been called, you've been all these things, use these phrases. Now, the reason I believe that the called is salvation, not only because throughout the Bible it uses the called is saved, but even more specifically, it says the called according to his purpose. That defines it. What is his purpose? That's really easy in the Bible. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man is coming to seek and to save that which was lost. What is it? 2 Timothy 1:12. I got it written down somewhere here. 1 Timothy 1:15. It says, this is a true saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. The called, according to his purpose, is just clearly saying his purpose is to save sinners. So all things work together for good to them who love God, the Christians who are obedient, the Christians who love the Lord, and who are saved. So he says, you're saved and you're serving the Lord. Your life's in God's hand. You are now in this realm. You're underneath the umbrella. You're underneath this protection where everything works together for good, for your good. That's where you are. Boy, it's a wonderful place. It's a wonderful place. I was this week working in my yard a little bit. And you know how the weather went this week? Sunny, rain, pour buckets, nice, sunny. I was out in that. You know, I was underneath some trees doing some work along a fence, and it started pouring buckets, and I look over at Timmy, and Timmy was standing there getting soaking wet, but I could not believe how much water this tree stopped. And there I felt terrible for him and said, man, he's getting soaked. I'm not getting a drop. I thought, man, this is an awesome tree to be under when it's raining. And in life, the Romans 8:28 is a wonderful place to be. Now, first thing is it's for qualified people. The second thing, just one word. It's two words, but one word I want to focus on. All things. All. First, this knowledge is for qualified people. Secondly, all things work together. It's not, man, 98.4% of things that happen in your life work together for good. It says all things. Now, that's pretty, I think that word has to be grasped, at least for me. All things? You mean, yeah, all things. All means all, and that's all. All things work together for good. What about, well, you don't need to ask what about, right? If he says all things, that's the first word for we know that all things, that's where he starts. All things work together. Next, number three, work together for good. The work together is the key there. And I want us to get that because God says things very specifically. That's why he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The longer I study the Bible, the more I realize God says things a certain way for a certain reason. And he does not, and here's the way most people think this verse reads. Most people think this verse in their mind, they think the verse says, and we know that all things happen for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. That's what they think the verse says in their mind. We translate things to what the fairy tale we want them to be. All things do not happen for good. All things work together for good. That is a big difference. Okay? And I think if you do not grasp that, you might struggle with some confusion and anger and other things in your life because you might say, well, how can this work together for good? This terrible thing happened. It was a matter of sin. It was this terrible thing. No, I didn't. God never says it happened for good. It says he works it together for good. You're in a sin-cursed world. Things happen for all kinds of reasons. I might go out tonight and somebody might rob me because he's a thief and demons are around and tempt people and he's greedy. Okay? It's not the will of God that he robs me or kills me. It might be. God might want me in heaven that night. But it might be God saying, you know, I wish this wasn't going to happen, but I'm going to let it happen. Because I give free will on earth, because it's a sin-cursed world, because I'll fix everything in heaven. But you know what? He doesn't say everything happens for my good. He says everything works together for my good. Okay? And that's important for us to understand. A great illustration, of course, is Joseph. Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20 says it so beautifully. They said, oh no, Joseph, you're going to kill us. And Joseph said, don't worry about that. I'm not God. I'm not going to... God will settle this thing. He says, you meant it for evil. It did not happen for good. You were sinning against God when you did that. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Okay? God can take the mess up of this world, and he can take us into his hand, and he can fix things. And he can make things start working together, even though the process is all messed up, even though the situation is messed up. Look, I should not have been born. My mom should have stayed married to her first husband. Right? Her first husband should not have ran off with his secretary. That's what happened. She should not have married against her parents telling her, that man's an alcoholic, don't marry him, and everybody telling her, but she was freshly lonely and hurt and wounded and found my dad, who wasn't a good, decent man. And she shouldn't have married him. I shouldn't be here. But God worked it together for good. Do you follow? So God looked ahead and saw, you know what? She's going to do that. You know what? I need a preacher in this certain city. I need a preacher who does a certain ministry. I need this guy wired a certain way. I need this certain husband for this wife. I need this. So since it's going to happen, let me just work this together for good and make this person and call him and separate him and work it out and make him in the right place, the right time. Let me work this out for good. Okay? All things work together for good. To them who love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Boy, sometimes in the Bible you see someone just seem to really blow everything and God just works it together for good. How about this? Should David have committed adultery with Bathsheba? No, of course not. She have killed Uriah, her husband? No. Did that happen for good? No. Wait a minute. Then God takes the time and says, and the Lord loves Solomon. Solomon is from David and Bathsheba, who shouldn't have been together. And God takes that mess up and sinful thing that he punished David and the nation for. He punished. David suffered for his sin. It happened. It shouldn't have happened. It was wrong. It was sin. And David said, God said, I'm going to make a guy from this thing, this mess, who's going to write the book of Proverbs. Just because God can. So all things don't happen for good. All things work together for good if you're qualified. But if you're not qualified, bad things can happen and no good comes out of it. Okay? Before I was saved, bad things happened and no good came out of it. Many of you, before you're saved, bad things happen. You made bad choices, bad things happen, and bad things happen. And you don't know why, and there might not have been a reason for it. All things don't work together for good for the unsaved. And I don't quote this verse to unsaved people in tragedy. They don't qualify. I don't say, I would quote Romans 8:28 to you, but you don't qualify. I don't do that. I just, you know, but they don't qualify. And so all things work together. They start working together for good. The Lord has foreknowledge and he works it together for good for those who love God. Even when man in sin does something bad to us, or against us, God can still work it together for good. Let me just give you some verses about this. Deuteronomy chapter 8. And people who didn't necessarily know sometimes why it was happening, they kind of knew God's nature and God wouldn't let this be happening to me. If you weren't going to work it together for good somehow, he's allowed it. There's no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. Just a few scattered verses here. There's a lot of Bible on it, but just along a thought line. Deuteronomy chapter 8. By the way, I would get saved just to get under this verse if there was no heaven and hell. Because it's really good that God can, whatever happens to you or I today, you are serving the Lord. God will work all of it together for our good. Boy, that's wonderful. Amen? Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 8. And verse 16, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, and with that which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee. So here's reasons why God might do something. That he might prove thee and to do thee good at thy latter end. Okay, so he says, I'm doing these things for your good. At the end, it's going to teach you lessons and make you better, and it's going to help you. Job chapter 23. So God's going to work things together for people, and he does it in a myriad of ways and for different motivations. And Job chapter 23, he just works things together. He puts you through something. If you're going to wander, if you're going to suffer, if you're going to do whatever, Job went through that. And Job was confused, didn't understand where God was, but he knew who God was. Job 23 and verse 8, behold, I go forward, and he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, and I cannot see him, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. So it's going to make me better, and so you do that. Let me show you 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. And just, God takes things that happen. He makes you come forth as gold. He makes us humble. It's going to be good. It's good in the end. Now, some of the things in the process, Job's process was not good. But in the end, he knows he'll come forth as gold. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. That the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, your faith, might be found unto praise and honor at the glory of the appearing of Jesus Christ. So here's this great trial of our faith, but I really, if you look at the verse carefully, you find out that the praise and honor is for your faith. If you look at the way the verse is phrased. In other words, at the appearing of Jesus Christ, you, because in your fire of your faith, in the fiery trials of your faith, you passed, your faith is found to give you glory and honor in Jesus Christ's presence when you die or when Jesus comes back. It makes you shine. It works together for good. It all works together for good. It helps you. There's a reason for it. Now let's go back to Romans 8. And look at that. So there's many reasons how it can work together for good. But all things, and we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow. He already knew you were going to get saved. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, he also justified. Whom he justified, then we also glorified. And what shall we say to these things? What things? Well, verse 26, the Spirit's helping us. God knows our hearts. God knows what we need. He makes intercession for us. He's justified us and finished the process of salvation already. If God, we look at all these things. If God be for us, who can be against us? Because of his sovereignty and him being for us and him working with intercession and fixing our prayers and everything he's doing, he's for us. He can work everything together because he has that whole process. Now again, does everything happen for good? Maybe not. But you know, no matter why this happened to you, you say, man, my mean relative went and did this to me and now I lost everything because of my mean relative. And they meant it for evil. It wasn't God's will that they sin against you. God's will is not sin. But the problem is their evil and their bad intentions or whatever happened in life cannot stop the sovereignty of God of saying, okay, you might have done this, but watch what I do. I'm going to work this together for good. I'm going to make something good out of this. I'm going to make something great out of this. So the cattle drive had ended. They were up near Dodge, and they were waiting to sell their cows, and all the cowboys were tired, about 10 of them out there. And they had lost a lot of their horses in the way, and they were exhausted and tired, and the weather was terrible. And the boss says, I'm going into town, and I want you guys to go. There's going to be a storm tonight. Cover everything. Go and pull the cows in. I want you to clean everything up. I want you to gather some firewood. I want you to do all this work and make everything all ready. And me and my beautiful daughter are going to go into town and get some supplies. We'll come back out, but make sure you get all that work done. And then when you get there, be ready to go do some work. Well, a lot of the cowboys sat there and gambled. There's one cowboy who started gathering firewood. He started pulling down the canvas on the wagon that was there. He started working on things. The other ones are playing around. They're gambling. They were joking around. They were laughing around. And it got time. I thought the boss might be coming back, but the boss is already back, and he was in the bushes watching. And all these other cowboys are messing around, and all of a sudden they figure it's about time for the boss to come, and they get up and they start looking busy, and all of a sudden the work's not done, but they run to go grab their horses because there's only 9 good horses. And one mule, an old beat-up mule. And nobody wanted to be on duty that night on the mule, walking around, watching the cows in the middle of a thunderstorm and uncomfortable. And all of them ran before the work is done, jumped on the horses and rode up on their horses and went out to go meet the boss while the last cowboy, who was diligent, continued to go and pull down the tarp and tie things down and bring in the things and tie this up and fix this and get this ready. And then he walked over to where the boss just apparently rode in. Well, the boss looks around and says, well, looks like everything's pretty tidied up, and it looks like everything got all done, and looks like you guys got the good horses. And they kind of chuckled, and they kind of laughed, and they said, yeah, well, we got the horses, and we're ready to go, and, you know, he's got the mule, but, you know, somebody's got to do it out here. And they kind of chuckle because the diligent guy got the worst thing. And the boss says, well, I reckon that mule's no good for watching the cows tonight. Somebody's got to escort my daughter in town, so he's going to drive us into town tonight. And he's going to watch my daughter and stay with us in the hotel while you guys are out in the thunderstorm watching the cows. And so off he goes with the pretty young daughter. And he goes into town and lives in comfort and eats a nice meal while the thunderstorm's raging and the cows are plowing and the storm and buckets are coming down. And, you know, they meant it for evil for the guy. But the boss saw the truth. And he said, you know, I'm not going to let this guy suffer when he's doing the right thing. Yeah, you might have thought you messed him up and he might have done a little extra work and it might look all bad for him. But you know what? I'm going to work this together for his good. Because he did what he's supposed to do. If you can get that mindset that God is sovereign and he can take care of you, you do the right thing. Don't sit there and worry about revenge. Don't sit there and think, oh no, I've lost my opportunities. I was doing the right thing and I lost out because of this. You never do. And you just say, you know what, Lord, did the right thing. It's in your hands. Work it together for good. And you know, God will make it work out just fine. All things work together for good to them who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank you for this wonderful truth. Thank you. It's something we can know. And we know that all things work together for good. Thank you for this verse, Lord. It's packed with incredible information. Help us to qualify, then help us to trust once we qualify. Help us to not live and think we're in this flippant, random chance good, bad luck world. Lord, help us to realize that we're in the hands of a great God. And help us to trust you there. Claim this verse, love this verse, and to trust you in it. I pray that, Lord, that we would understand what a treasure it is that you tell us here in Romans 8. And help us to live by faith in it. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed.